Welcome to the Near Post Local, football and futsal in the capital region, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. I'm Peter Funnell. In this program, we talk to Heather Reid, CEO Capital Football, and the subject is the ongoing matter between Canberra FC and Capital Football in connection with the unacceptable behaviour of a small group of Canberra FC supporters at the Men's Premier League Grand Final. Matters are still ongoing, and indeed there is a tribunal hearing in the forthcoming week. After that, it's up to Canberra FC where they want to take this. One of the regrettable spin-offs of this behaviour has been the requirement for increased security and costs associated with that on any Capital Football major event. And I'm thinking here particularly the W League. The very last thing anyone wants is a repeat of the sort of behaviour that we saw at the Men's Premier League Grand Final by anyone. Now we'll hear from Heather Reid, and she'll bring us up to date on where this process is at, and indeed some of the spin-offs from that process that already are evident to the CEO. Okay, look, we're going to cover, if you're in agreement, we'll cover sensitive issue, the men's grand final and the aftermath of that. Now, certainly on the Near Post Local and made it very clear that what happened in terms of a section of the Canberra FC supporters was just appalling and not as it should have been. And all that went with that, it came as no surprise Capital Football took disciplinary action. And of course that process is wherever it's at. We had two spectacular teams. For me, it promised to be the game of the decade, that Premier League club level. And every game before it indicated that's exactly the way it would be. The game was spectacular for various reasons, not least of which was massively high scoring rate. That came as a surprise. But the behaviour of some of the Canberra FC supporter group, small group, just was not appropriate to the occasion. You and the board must, and your staff, must have been very concerned for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a sensitive issue that I'm not really at liberty to say too much about for legal reasons.
Yeah.
I just would say that it was a great day with four games, remember, because we started very early in the day with the under-16s at 10 o'clock.
That was a good game.
Leading up to, four great games, I think, leading up to the grand final of the Men's Premier League, which, as you say, was a terrific game. But it's fair to say that throughout the day there were a number of matters that were not very conducive to making sure that everybody was going to enjoy that final day, that final game. And now, of course, those matters, which have been aired in the media, I'm not sure if all of the facts from our point of view are properly in the marketplace, but that's a communication issue. The club officials were warned throughout the day about the potential for breaches of code of conduct, breaches of men's league regulations, and breaches of other FFA disciplinary matters. To say that what happened on the day is now history is correct on one hand, but on the other hand, we have to go through a disciplinary process. We initiated the first breach notice to Canberra FC within the week following the incident. They engaged lawyers to deal with the matter on their behalf, and so our men's league manager has been liaising with those lawyers and also with FFA on the potential of the breaches. We subsequently withdrew the first breach notice, and on advice from FFA particularly, and have restructured the breach notice so that it is clearer in terms of what areas of the code of conduct and the disciplinary regulations were breached.
Okay,
we allege were breached.
Yep.
The matter is set down for a hearing next Wednesday, the 26th.
Whereabouts?
At Capital Football.
Right.
And I have to say I was disappointed that there was a group of people within a particular community that were attempting to stage a protest when we convened the first disciplinary matter, the first disciplinary hearing. And I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that people within the Canberra FC community have quietened down certain elements and that this can continue to be dealt with, as we always wanted it to be dealt with, through the proper disciplinary regulations.
As it must be.
Bearing in mind that we're also dealing with lawyers who are acting on their behalf. So we have the hearing set down for next Wednesday, subject to anything happening in the meantime. If they say they haven't got sufficient time to prepare their case, then that hearing will be held by an independent panel of tribunal members, fully legally qualified. And we're also we've also issued a breach notice for one player who was a spectator on the day that, on all the evidence from the incident reports, was clearly involved in a number of breaches during the day, and Canberra FC has an opportunity to respond to what might be the appropriate action to be taken against him for the offences that he allegedly, well, in fact, I know he was involved in. This was a player that I was, you know, almost going to have evicted from the ground before the game, before the main game, but I was encouraged to allow him to stay in the venue
by
a Canberra FC official,
mm-hmm.
Who said that he would look after him and take care of him during the game, and that didn't happen. And this player was somebody who lit flares and carried a flare onto the pitch after the game.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There are other players and supporters that we probably could also invoke a breach notice against, but I'm not sure if we're going to go down that path at this stage. The men's league manager will deal with that.
Okay. Well, it's an ongoing matter.
It's an ongoing matter, and I probably can't say too much more
I don't think we need to say any more.
We have a disciplinary process that we are following. We want to complete that disciplinary process before we engage in anything further that might be required, such as mediation.
Mm.
I personally may want to have some mediated discussion with the Canberra FC key management, because I had, and I hope I still have, a very good relationship with those people, but I'm afraid that the events of the day have made it personally very disturbing for me and some of my staff as well. And so we need to perhaps mend some bridges, particularly when we want to continue using Deakin Stadium for our own local fixtures, but also because we have a Canberra United game scheduled there for the 10th of December.
Okay.
And I do not want any repetition or potential for trouble at that game.
Oh, absolutely.
It is an FFA event that we'll be running on their behalf, and so FFA will be closely watching also how things unfold on that day at that ground.
Mm.
And again, this is not a threat, this is a reality, that with changes in the national competition structure and the potential for an FFA Cup competition to be introduced next year, and Canberra FC and Belconnen and Canberra Olympic and all of our top clubs wanting to be part of an FFA Cup preliminary round of games, Deakin would be ideal as a venue for those games, and we need to make sure that the risk management associated with that venue is assessed and dealt with, so that we don't have a repeat of what happened on that grand final day. That includes better security around the field, so people can't jump the fence and go onto the field.
Yeah.
Better security around the perimeter of the venue, so people can't drop items over the fence or get in a side gate.
Yeah.
Or indeed come onto the field as a streaker and run out another side gate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So the security of the venue needs to be a lot tighter than it was on that day.
Yeah, those incidents invite so many other things, don't they? By that I mean where you would not expect a problem. Some of these security issues are not at the forefront of anyone's mind. Mm. But once they emerge, you really can't walk backwards anymore.
No,
it's a problem, isn't it?
that becomes a resource issue and it becomes a finance issue.
Absolutely.
So whereas at McKellar we might have minimum security standards as per FFA regulations and W League regulations, I would expect that at Deakin, however, we will have to step up that, and it means, for example, I may have to have two security contract security staff patrolling the outside of the venue and at least 4 to 6 people inside the venue. Now, the security requirements for A-League and Youth League, A-League particularly, are very, very strict, very high.
Oh, yes.
And then they sort of taper that down to W-League and taper it even further down to Youth League. So, you know, in previous W-League games, we are required to have, I think, a minimum of 6 contract security.
Mm.
So that's at the gate, at the change room and tunnel area, and also on the field of play.
Yep.
So I would say we were wanting to trim that back because it's extremely expensive. You've got to have security people there for 3 hours from the time the gate opens to the time people leave, and that's expensive. So for the game at Deakin, I don't want to foreshadow too much. I hope that we get the full support from the Canberra FC managers of that facility, but we would have to have probably, I would say, 8 contract security plus our own volunteers and staff assisting on the day.
This is lamentable because this cost is borne ultimately by the football community here.
Well, I've got to raise more money. It's the Canberra United budget.
Yeah.
So it's Canberra United budget, which is supported by an ACT government grant, some terrific sponsorship now from Loop, the Rock Development Group, from ACTU-AGL, University of Canberra, the tradies clubs. And I want to get as many people through the gate so we can generate a bit more income, sell a few more shirts, that sort of stuff. But it does impact on our bottom line. And it may be an unnecessary impact, but it's an absolutely critical matter that we have to deal with properly.
And no one's looking for ways to spend more money. Yeah, are they really? But
well, I'd rather have the money go to the players.
Yeah,
I'd rather have the money go
ridiculous.
Into buying some more merchandise to sell to the punters. But
and those are the consequences, bit by bit, of an incident such as we saw that day. But, you know, we're lucky here in the ACT. We won't see much of this, and hopefully we'll never see it ever again. Down in New South Wales, they locked 2 teams up in a sealed location in order to play their Premier League games because they had a riot 2 years ago.
And in Victoria, they have mounted police.
I mean,
I don't want that in Canberra.
No.
You know, we want to make sure that our games are presented in a family-friendly environment.
That's it. Yeah.
That is free of abuse and harassment. That is free of behaviour that turns people away.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, a lot of people left that game before half-time because it was not a family-friendly or a pleasant environment to be in.
This sort of behaviour can't be tolerated. It can't be let pass, and it's not reflective of the standard of football produced by the club concerned. Players get injured here too.
You have been listening to the Near Post Local on 2XXFM, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. Football and futsal in the capital region. Go to the podcast for this program at www.nearpostlocal.blogspot.com. You will find a lot of interesting interviews and items there for the discerning football or futsal tragic. Enjoy your futsal and football. See you next time. Ta-da.
Round and round, up and down, through the streets of your town. Every day I make my way through the streets of your town. Round and round, up and down, through the streets of your town. Every day I make my way through the streets of your town. My